Those of us who have come to know Dawson City of more recent years can only marvel at the pictures of early day Dawson. One in particular which interests me is a panoramic view. It looks as though it were taken about 1905, possibly a few years later. The streets are filled with buildings, from Front Street to the top of the AC Trail, and from the edge of the Klondike Riverbank in the south end up to the foot of the slide in the north. Another person who enjoys looking at this picture, but who at the same time remembers much of the town as it was in the early days, and even if not as early as the time this picture or this scene was taken, he remembers the stories of his father and other 98ers. So tonight, and possibly for three or four other Friday evenings at this time, we shall go for a walk through Dawson City with Johnny Hogan. So Johnny, we might just as well start way up here at the north end, right under the slide. Maybe you can tell us about the front street of Dawson.
Well, we could start with St. Mary's Hospital up on the hill, which, as you all know, burnt down here a few years ago, which was a very lovely building and built in the early days. And below it, you'll see on the waterfront, looking at a picture here now, there's a Catholic church, which was afterwards moved to Mayo, which is still standing in Mayo. And then strolling along down the streets, there's a few warehouses, until you come to the coal dock of the Coal Creek Coal Company. And they had a series of bunkers right down here in the north end of town, and it was a very interesting spot because about once or twice a week, this coal that they brought up was a very soft coal, and it used to heat and catch fire, so it was a continuous thing for the fire department to be coming down here. And of course they had the horses in those days, and there was a man by the name of Alex Seeley that had bought a team of the fire horses that had been turned out, and he had them on an express rig, and no matter when that whistle blow, Seeley and his express rig landed at the coal bunkers, it didn't make any difference what else he was trying to do.
And coal bunkers, Johnny, where did they bring this coal in from?
The coal came in from down at Coal Creek, about just below 40 mile little ways. They had a railroad up there to the mine, and they had a big steam plant in there where they intended to generate power and bring it over the top of the hills up for use in Dawson and for the creeks. But it never worked out very good, and the plant was moved, I believe, to Malay. It was after the last World War.
Mm. Well, did the local businesses use this coal then?
There was quite a bit of it used in town here, yes, but it was fairly dirty and soft, and it was cheap at that time, and it was a lot of it used in heating, as there was quite a few steam plants then. Mm-hmm. And then this coal dock, they had a boat that belonged to the mining company, the Canadian Klondike Mining Company, which was headed then by Joe Boyle, who afterwards was the Duke of Jassy. That is the boat that took the Boyle contingent out in November. I think they left here late in October 1914 to go upriver to on their way overseas. And Joe Boyle outfitted these 50 men from the Yukon and took them right to England at his own expense, or the expense of the mining company.
Was this the boat, the Lightning, was it?
It was the Lightning.
Oh.
And I believe Captain Colley was the master. And Pete Cunningham, who a good many of us remember around here, was afterwards in charge of the North Fork Power Plant. He was the chief engineer on it.
Oh.
And then as we come along, there's the old Ladue Sawmill, which had closed down just before I came to Dawson in 1914. And it was all intact then, but it never ran again.
Now that building's still standing there, isn't it?
Still standing, and the machinery and boilers, I think, are all in it yet. Mm-hmm. You'll see it when you come off the ferry, like when you come in from the north on the ferry, you come right up in front of this building.
Mm. Well, they put millions of board feet through there, didn't they? I've seen pictures of dog teams lined up at the back there waiting for the timber to come off for their mines and, I guess, sluice boxes and one thing or another, wouldn't it be?
Yes, there was another mill down further north, but that north on the street, but that was gone when I came here too. Mm-hmm. But there was an awful lot of the lumber cut here as the logs were brought down the river by raft. Mm-hmm. And then as you go along the street, there's the NAT stores and warehouses, an outfit which had a lot of boats on the river at one time, and very large boats too. And they had, they're much the same as the NC Company. There was the NAC Company and the NAT Company and the AC Company. They were all in the fur trading and miner supplies and steamboats.
Now that was a large collection of buildings. What, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, really, what, 7 really large buildings, weren't there?
Yeah, well, some of them were warehouses and some were stores.
Mm-hmm.
And they sold everything from boilers to liquor, anything.
Oh.
And then as you come along the street on the waterfront side, you come to the NC Dock, where they had their heating plant for their store and everything, which was just across the street. And it took in a whole block. The whole block there was NC, warehouses and store. And on the King Street side, the Canadian Klondike Mining Company's office was in their buildings, and the Guggenheims or the Yukon Gold Company had their offices in the building, which is now the Pioneer Hall.
And that old building's right there in the corner, right across from the new Bonanza Hotel, then, isn't it?
Well, those buildings burnt down.
Yes,
yeah, but the Pioneer Hall is still there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the oldest buildings in town, I think.
Wow.
But this NC, they had their boiler houses and heating plants, I said, and they also had their own fire department. And they had quite a few boats on the river, which they sold out to the White Pass in 1913. After quite a rate war on the river, you could go to White Horse for $5 and it was cheaper to travel than to stay home.
Fields and all, eh?
Yeah. And then the next dock up is the White Pass dock.
That's a full city block.
That's quite a lock. Well, up here, this here was the Sidestream Navigation Company. That was Barrington.
That's right next to the present Bank of Commerce, then, isn't it?
Yes, between that, there was the, in between it and the fire hall. It was right in there. That was Barrington's. They were quite the characters on the river, too. They were always noted for helping anybody. They were small steamboats, and they ran the Sidestream Navigation Company.
Wasn't it a Barrington that brought the Clifford Sifton, the first one through, I think, through the rapids and landed in Dawson here? I think Mrs. Visquin has mentioned that.
Well, I don't know. I don't think Barrington. My dad was on that coming through the rapids.
Oh.
And no, I don't think Barrington was on that. But they were up here during the war and had the Excella this last year of war and had the Excella down on the lower river doing some freighting for the American Army. And they also, for years, ran a freighting business on the Stikine River.
Yeah.
But any time a wood raft or log raft got stuck on a bar coming down the river and Barrington's came along with their boat, they used to put in and put in any length of time trying to pull them off. And they were well known for their generosity on the river. And they were great gamblers. One time in a gambling game in Mayo one fall, I think it was their last trip, they were tied up there and they lost everything, and they even put the boat up. But they lucky they won, and they came out all right.
Now, there's the old fire hall next to that. Was that a fire hall during your time, too,
yeah,
Johnny?
Yeah, fire hall, and they had four horses in there then that were trained, and I think Bobby McLaren's dad that's still around here, he was in the fire hall, and he was a captain in the fire hall.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them would marry Harry Skelton. He was the... looked after the horses, and they were all trained. They rang the bell, the horses came out every night, stood under their harness, and they had these practice runs every night at 9 o'clock. The fire chief would go out anywhere in town and ring an alarm and to test them, and the horses would come out. It used to be quite a thing to go in there. They'd betting about these horses, you know. They wouldn't come out until the bell would ring and the gates would fly open, but they wouldn't come out until somebody hollered you'd have to holler their name or they wouldn't come out, and they used to bet on them, you know, and somebody would come in there and just holler, hey, you know, and the horses wouldn't move, so the fellows in the fire hall used to win quite a few bets on it.
Now, look at this great structure here. Now, this is the old ferry tower. That was there for years, wasn't it, haul the ferry across?
Well, that was, I think it was 125 feet high, and it spanned the street and was all of lumber,
mm-hmm.
and the anchor cable went away up onto 3rd Avenue, just behind where the B&F store was.
Oh.
And this cable went across and anchored on the bluff on the other side, and the ferry was went across by, you might say, its own power. It was hung on the cable, and the current of the river took it over and back, whichever way they angled it.
Oh.
One time somebody was burning brush in the spring there, and just after the river went out, or burned grass, they burned the cable off and went down the river, and it was skipping there. They had an operator shook the tower down. They had quite a time before they got it up.
Now, when you get down Front Street here, there are no end of smaller buildings.
We have right here the railroad station.
Oh, yes.
Right, there's the Bank of Commerce, which is still there, and then the railroad station.
Well, that's right across the street on the riverbank from the present Bank of Commerce, yeah. Isn't it?
And the ferry slip used to be right down here between the Commerce and the old railroad station. Mm-hmm. Well, the railroad had stopped running when I got here. I think they stopped in 13. Mm-hmm. And just across the street was a Krause's dry goods store, men's furnishing. It was a Mr. Krause and his three sons ran it. And then right next to it is the Prospector Hotel, which was quite a hotel. It was more bar than a hotel, but it was a very nice place. And right alongside it was a fellow named Packard had a hardware store, I remember. And then I'm kind of lost with some of these. I come down here to the, I believe it's the London Cigar Store in here.
Now, that little building is still there. It's all by itself, isn't it, on Front Street, and it's quite low down now since that Dyke Road's been built. That was the London Cigar Store.
Yeah. Oh. And that was owned by a woman called Emily Anderson. She was quite the girl in South Africa at one time, according to her, and quite a friend of Cecil Rhodes, so she claimed.
Cecil Rhodes, no less.
Yeah. And then we had, then there's the Green Tree Hotel, which was quite a large hotel too, and then the across the street on the next block it was the Fairview.
Was that Belinda's Maloney's?
Rooney's, I believe it was. The hotel wasn't open when I came here in 14, but I believe that was her hotel.
Now that's just at a kitty corner across from the present Oddfellows Hall, then, isn't it?
Yes, it's kind of on the another little cabin built in there now where mm-hmm. it used to be, and there's quite a hole there.
Yeah.
And then we have, there was Ed Rickard's store in here. He was quite the character, too. He was the man that, if he had only one article left in the store, he wouldn't sell it because he wouldn't have any in stock. I remember when I was a kid, I went to buy a pair of skis off him one time, and I piled wood around town and everything else till I got the $18, and I went down to get the skis, and he only had the one pair, and he wouldn't sell them to me because he wouldn't have any more in stock. And then there's the Klondike Hotel, which went right across the end of Second Avenue. Second Avenue stopped and kind of branched out into Front Street there, mm-hmm. the Klondike Hotel.
Was it right there in this corner where, almost like where the present White Pass is then,
right,
isn't it?
The White Pass is now, yes.
Oh.
And then there was that's it right there. And then I don't remember this building in here, but these two here, I think one was the Miner's Rest and the other was the Yukon Hotel. Mm-hmm. Now, one of these burned down, and I don't know which they switched names or something there on it. And Mrs. Wilson, who a lot of us will remember, ran that place. And it was ran by some of the women here just, I think it was a year before the festival for a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
And then down along, after we passed there, we came to the Anglican Church is just over here. And then the big police barracks yard. Well, the government house first, the governor's house. George Black was the governor there, and he lived there. He was governor at that time when I first came here. And afterwards, they did away with the governor and had a gold commissioner. Mm-hmm. And George was gold commissioner afterwards, too. That's a very lovely place. I think there was two ballrooms there. Now it's the old man's home, and I believe they're closing it now, and I suppose it'll be the last of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we get along here further, then we come to the police yard, and there was a big monument in the yard here. It was built of stone and cement to the policemen that were lost on the McPherson Patrol, who were found by Sergeant Dempster, who the last year has been honored by naming the highway, as it was once known as the Igloo Highway, is now the Dempster Highway. And then this police yard was quite, it took in about a whole block. And then they had the big courthouse.
Was that a courthouse during your time, the present hospital now, Johnny? Was that the courthouse that you remember?
Yes, it was still the courthouse then, although I don't believe they used it. I don't know whether they used it when I first came here or not, because they had a courtroom in the administration building. But this was vacant, or they were using the courthouse, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But the police had all their offices over in the other yard.
Well, they actually had a public hanging here, didn't they? What was the last? When was that then, right in that yard?
There was a fellow by the name of Barney West was hung there, and then there was a Jap who had a fox farm across the river who murdered his wife. They were both hung there in that yard.
Was that in the 30s, was it?
Oh, that was in... No, that was in the... 1 of them was 17 or 18, and the other one was in the 30s. 30 or 31, I believe.
Is that right? They had a public hanging as late as that, right in that yard?
Well, I wouldn't say it was public, but he was hung there.
No, but it was an execution there.
And then up a little further along here was the... There wasn't anything of note much along here until we came to the Cascade Laundry, which was owned by Gus Johnson. And...
That was a fair-sized laundry, wasn't it?
It was a big laundry, yes. Mm-hmm. They had two delivery rigs that were running steady all the time. And they were horse-drawn rigs, of course. Mm-hmm. And then there wasn't anything up there until we came to the railroad bridge, then went across the Klondike here, the Klondike Mines Railroad, and the power plant, that's the same power plant as there now, only it's changed now from steam to diesel to a great extent. And then as you went up this street here, there was on one side, there was like on the north side, there was a bowling alley and the Arctic Saloon and Burkhart's Bakery.
Now that Burkhart's Bakery is that fascinating building, the first real tumble-down building you see as you come into town, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the the first building you see that you might say as you come enter the town.
Well, where was the bowling alley from there?
Well, it was right alongside it down on the town side of it.
Oh.
There were several buildings along there, but I remember one was the bowling alley. And across the street from it, there was Huxford's Variety Store. And that's the only place us kids could buy jawbreakers when we were small. They were a hard, brown candy about the size of a big marble, and they had a very bitter seed in the center.
Oh, yeah.
And every time you got that far and got the bitter seed, you had to have another jawbreaker to get the taste out of your mouth.
And that was way down the south end. We used to track down for your jawbreakers.
And then the Boss Bakery was right there, too, right alongside of Huxford's. Mm-hmm. And they also had a delivery rig. And then as you get up a little further, of course, there was a Flatiron building there, but that was vacant when I came here. And just behind it, kind of up on the street there, there was the Broadway Hotel, which was owned by Pellant. Which was Harvey Pellant's, grandfather owned that.
And so Johnny this evening has taken us from the bottom of the slide where St. Mary's Hospital used to be right down to where the past, where the present powerhouse is. So this has been a walk along Front Street with Johnny Hogan. And next Friday evening, Johnny will start again and wander through the old streets of Dawson City. This is Arthur Italic in Dawson City. Last week, Johnny Hogan took us on a walk through early day Dawson streets. We walked along Front Street from the slide to the Klondike Riverbank. To continue our stroll, Johnny will tell us about other streets and business establishments of early day Dawson City. Now, where are we this evening, Johnny?
Well, I think this evening we could start with the M&N, which is on the corner of King and Front Street and King Street. And it was quite a noted place because that was the place that had this noted bar that was, I think it was taken to Fairbanks afterwards. It was a very nicely built affair, and I think it was the nicest bar in the whole of Dawson. And above this place was what they called the Zero Club, which was a very swanky club. All the prominent men, the lawyers, doctors, and judges and everything all belonged to this club. And there was quite a series of pictures put out on it, on calendars by the Penske store, that these dogs that these dressed up at these different things there, playing cards and dancing and one thing and another, and they all represented some prominent citizens of Dawson. And I did know a few of them, but there were some of the old-timers here that could reel them all off, you know, and there was quite a story connected with it.
Now, this particular site is right where the DOT building is now, isn't
right,
it?
Right where the signals is, or the DOT signals are now. Mm-hmm. And then right alongside of it, continuing south on Front Street, was the King Edward Hotel, and which was afterwards, in later years, was done over and was made the second Euconia, which burned down that whole section, burned. And the Orpheum Theater was the next building, and that all burned in this one fire.
Well, is that exactly the same site of the present Orpheum? There's always been an Orpheum Theater there, then, has there?
Yes, it's not quite in the same spot, but it's awfully close to where the Orpheum was. Mm-hmm. Only these buildings were all joined, you know, there was no space between any of them. Mm-hmm. And then in the Orpheum was Apple Jimmy's store, cigars, pipes, tobacco, fresh fruit, and such.
And why did they call him Apple Jimmy?
Well, in the early days, Apple Jimmy got his name when he first started out with the basket in the dance hall. He peddled apples around the floor and fruit, you know, and then, of course, after the dance hall closed, he went into business, and he had this store, and he was, I think, pretty everybody in the country knew Apple Jimmy, mm-hmm. because you come off those days, you come in by boat in the summertime, and you come off the White Pass dock, and you were right up in front of Apple Jimmy's, and he always had a phonograph going there, and pretty near always the same record. I remember one time they had this Golden Slippers, and he'd been playing it steady for about 2 weeks, and Ed Schwartz, who was in charge of the dock, he got fed up with listening, so he went over and bought the record, and he hadn't got across the street until Jimmy had it back on again. He had another one.
He just liked Golden Slippers.
And then alongside it, for a short time, there was a shooting gallery, and then there was the Arcade Cafe, and I believe it was in part of what is now what one time was the Monte Cristo, and in later years was the Sugar Bowl Dance Hall. But the fellow by the name of Tom something, he was Big Tom was all I knew him about, had it, and he afterwards had the Model Cafe in Fairbanks. I met him when I was down in 36 in Fairbanks. I happened to step into his restaurant and some other boys from here, and he knew us all. And it was afterwards taken over by Harry Gleaves and Eddie McKenzie, who a good many of the people up here remember. And then right next door to it was Sharp's Realty and Brokerage place. He had a little office in there. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Sharp, she was a big, tall, red-headed woman and a very noted politician.
Wow.
And then we come along a little further to the Royal Alexander Hotel.
That was a beautiful hotel, wasn't it?
That was the biggest hotel in town. It was owned by Murray Eads. Mm-hmm. And in this hotel, they had a bar there. I think there was three bartenders on shift there, and it was continuous night and day. And in the back was a pool room, and on the other side was a big lobby, and of course there was rooms, and they had their own power plant, and they heated the whole block. They steam heated the whole block. Mm-hmm. And Murray Eads was drowned on the Sophia, and that was that was the shock that really killed Dawson for a lot of these places. But it was one of the biggest places. And all these hotels in the summertime, and then I don't know whether our summers were warmer or what it was, but they used to take the doors off the front, and they had just these swinging doors on, you know, because they never locked up at night anyway.
Uh-huh.
And it was just continually, they went around with the sun, I guess, is the land of the midnight sun, and they just stayed with it.
Okay.
Well, then, to get a little further, there was the Comet Barber Shop, and I don't want to remember one of the barbers there. Dick Major was one of the barbers in there, and I think he's still in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
And right alongside of that was Tommy Doyle's hotel, and then Dan Cronin's. Well, there used to always be quite a joke about that. When anybody went over there to hoist a few, he used to say they were going over to commune with the spirits, Cronin and Doyle. And as we got along a little further, there was Hirschberg's clothing store, which is a gents' furnishing, a very, very nice place. And alongside of it was Sales Jewelry Store.
That'd be close where the Dawson Arts Craft is now, then, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's right in that same area.
Mm-hmm.
But it was ruined when the next hotel, the big Yukoni Hotel, which was it was about the next hotel to the Royal Alexander. And the only thing, it had a very classy grill on the Queen Street side. But it was owned by Joe Segbers, and it burned down in 1916. And I think the sales building was, and the Hirschberg store, which was after taken over by Penske. It was taken over before when Hirschberg moved out. And I think this fire ruined those two things, and Penske's moved over into the building that Strachan has his grocery store in there now, and hardware store.
Well, is this right on the corner now, what we call that building called Chaffee's Building? Was
that's
the old hotel?
Same place there. And after it was burned down, that building that's there now was put up, and there was a fellow by the name of Joe Hanna, an Irishman, ran it there. And he was quite a noted character, too. He bought furs and sold supplies, you know, like clothes and mitts, mm-hmm. and anything, and traded with the Indians. He was an Irishman. He couldn't read or write. But he had a set of books there, and he had a mark for everybody. And he had a wonderful memory. You could go in there, and, of course, everybody's credit was good, you know. But he could tell you by looking at that book just how much you owed him, by his marks.
Now, there was another hotel in behind there again, too, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, when you turn up the street there, there was the Emperor.
This is going up Queen Street, isn't it?
That's going up mm-hmm. Queen Street. Then you came to the Empire Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first remember, Gene Fournier, which afterwards had the roadhouse at Bear Creek, he was cooking in the restaurant there in the Empire Hotel. And then next to it was the B&F store. That's where Butterworth store stands now, right on that corner.
Well, that was a B&F store, too,
eh? That was a B&F store at that time, Butler and Faulkner's. And they had two tame bears tied up out in front there. And one day they got loose, and the butcher shop was just up the street where the NC store is now. These two bears got loose and get in the butcher shop, and that I think they had to get rid of the bears after that. And then after you get right across the street, going up Queen Street, was Tasami's. As a Greek, Tasami was a Greek, and he had a fruit store there. And it was in the summertime. All the lower windows were all out. You know, it was open, and all his fruit was on display and everything there. And he had like soft drinks and candy. He made homemade candy and all that. And then.
Would that be close to where the downtown is now?
Right where the downtown is. That's the same building.
Oh.
Yeah, part of the same building. And then as you go up a little further, there was the Home Bakery, or the Union Bakery was in there.
Oh.
Yeah, the Union Bakery. And then there was a fellow named Delagrave, a tailor, was in there. And he was quite a flying hobbyist. He made several flying machines. He made one as a set of wings that he went up on the hill there and jumped off a bluff with it and just about broke his neck. And then he made another one out of a glider out of bamboo, and he had two or three wrecks of that. He never got very far in the air, but he never gave up. He was a very fancy skater. He used to go up to the rink and skate quite a lot.
Where would he take off from on these flights of his, John?
Well, he used to go over to this old AC, the end of the AC ditch here, where they had the hydraulic cut, and he'd jump off the edge of the cut where they did all. And he pretty near killed himself two or three times, but he never gave up. He finally died a natural death.
Now, this brings us up across where are we now?
We're up to, we just leaving Delagrave's, and then the Central Hotel, or the Bucket of Blood, that it was commonly known as. That was I think it got that name from a murder there in the early days, where this Italian murdered a whole family up in the Vaglios. They were mm-hmm. shot up in the hole in the upstairs there.
Now, this is sort of like in behind the Penguin, is it?
Yes, that's right behind the Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this central, there was the central cafe was on the uphill side of it, which the Franish brothers ran for years. That's where you could had pea soup any time you went, any day of the week. They always had pea soup on the menu. And then alongside that was the barber shop. And then it was the Brunswick Hotel, which is now the Penguin. Mm-hmm. And in 1915, Andy Rastogi bought the Brunswick, and he moved the Fourth Avenue Hotel, which was a building that was over just on Fourth Avenue, just down the street from the present-day Eagle Hall or Community Hall. And they moved that in alongside and put it together and called it the Francis Hotel after one of his daughters.
Oh.
So that was the Francis Hotel after that.
Was that the medical dental building, too, still
that,
later?
That was the medical dental building, and it's now the Penguin.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we go up the street, just across the street, still going up, we come to the Moose Hall, which was a big brick building. It was originally a warm storage owned by Lily's, a grocery store that had these brick buildings. They had this one and another one over on King Street. But this... Mm-hmm. This was quite a large building in the Moose.
Say, look, it's what, a three-story and very elaborate front on it. Now, this is where Klondike Motors is now, is it?
Yes, it's the same lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this was all timber inside, then a brick shell. And the Moose, the ordinary Moose, bought it. And, oh, it was they had a dining room down there. Could sit, I think it was 450 people. Mm-hmm. And on one side, there was a pool room for their members. And upstairs, they had the big dance floor, and there was a great big moose head just over the top of the stage on the east end of it. But the brick cracked on the outside, and the building was condemned. And the moose finally went broke, and the lodge became extinct, and the building was torn down, and then Ed Hickey built the garage that's there now.
Is it because of permafrost, Johnny, that both those brick buildings started to crack, do you think?
No, I don't think so. It was just, there was nothing, I don't think there was nothing dangerous about the building, only there was a little bit of a conniving. I think they wanted to get rid of it.
Oh, I see.
And they tore this one down. But the other brick building, it stood up for years, and then across from there, of course, going up the street further, but then we come to the community hall it is now, which was the Arctic Brotherhood Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite a building in its time, too. At that time, we used to have these stock companies used to come down, you know, the river in the summertime, and they'd play here maybe for 2 weeks. They'd put on, say, two or three plays, and they'd play here for maybe 2 weeks, and then they'd go on down there to Alaska, because that was the only way you could get into the interior of Alaska then.
Oh.
And they'd put on these plays here and then go down through there. And then coming back, they'd play again, like we had the Royal Players and the Bostonians and a man by the name of Hewitt. And several of them came through here. Every summer, they nearly always used to be they'd come through. And then go up a little bit further, it was the D3A. It was the Dawson Amateur Athletic Club, which was owned by... Walter Kramer, which is Phil Kramer's father, lives at Bear Creek now. And this was quite a place. They had a big club upstairs, a picture show, and in the summer they had a swimming pool in the building, which was after, in the wintertime, was an arena, and they had the curling rink. And like in the summer when they had, they used to have several boxing fights there. And they used to have them put a ring up over the swimming pool.
Is in our present skating rink, isn't it, where all that went on?
That's where the present skating rink is. I always remember these two buildings because there used to be a man by the name of Sailor Jack here. He was a spieler. Of course, we had no radio in those days, and the only way to announce anything was either to get it out in the paper. Of course, he had a daily paper, but he used to go around the street with a big horn, and he'd announce, you know, the different things were going on. And any of these show companies, then they'd hire... Spieler Jack to advertise the thing, and he had this great big horn, and us kids, we all stayed very friendly with old Jack, because he could win out of the show as he liked, you see. And after the lights went out, why, he'd put this big horn over us kids, you see, and walk us in by the wicket and get it in there and lift the horn and we'd disappear and he'd go and get another one. He'd ferry us all in.
Well, thank you very much, Johnny. And this was another evening for going through a walk of the streets of Dawson City in the early days with Johnny Hogan. And next Friday evening, Johnny will tell us more about some of the streets and some of the people and some of the businesses who were in Dawson. This is Arthur Retallick in Dawson City.